السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire household, his companions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them all, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless every one of us and grant us goodness and ease. My beloved brothers and sisters, half of Ramadan is done. And we know that if we have not softened up, it is us who will lose. It is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who loses. He gives us the season. If we did not make use of the season, we are to blame. So my brothers and sisters, I call on myself and yourselves to ensure that we use this beautiful season of Ramadan to earn the forgiveness of Allah, to purify the heart, to have good thoughts about one another. When you see someone do something, have the best thought in your mind. Don't have a dirty thought, because a Muslim's heart is definitely very precious. It is something that we should never ever compromise. This heart is a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ لَمُضْغَةً إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. Indeed, in the body there is an organ or a piece of flesh. If it is pure and good, the whole body will be pure and good. If it is bad and spoiled and messed, the entire body will be bad and spoiled and messed. So my brothers and sisters, it's up to us to ensure that the heart is good, because the hadith ends by saying that piece of flesh is the heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a sound heart. May Allah help us to love one another. May Allah help us to help one another. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Jannatul Firdaus. This evening, I want to commence where I left off yesterday. Suratul Qasas, surah number 28 of the Quran. We read it in Salatul Taraweeh tonight. So now we have caught up between what we are speaking about in terms of the series and the recitation in Salatul Taraweeh. You know that Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, he left the Pharaoh and he arrived in Madian. He helped the two women, if you recall. He helped the two women. And after that, he made a beautiful dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we mentioned yesterday. And I said, we should be calling out to Allah using the same dua. Let me quickly repeat it. رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. Oh my Rabb, I am in desperate need of any goodness that you are going to send in my direction. Anything. So when that happens, when you make that dua to Allah, He will send you something grand by the will of Allah. Even if you don't understand. Through that dua, the entire life of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was about to change. So one of the girls came back and she says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this woman tells Musa alayhi salatu wasalam,
إِنَّ أَبِي يَدْعُوكَ لِيَجْزِيَكَ أَجْرَ مَا سَقَيْتَ لَنَا.
My father is calling you to give you the reward because you helped us to quench the thirst of the flock of sheep. He was a happy man, but he decided, according to some narrations, to follow this woman home would be a slight bit of a problem because he wanted to protect his gaze. So according to some narrations, he said, let me walk in front of you and you direct me. Subhanallah. So she noticed this man is something else. Meaning he wants me to walk behind him so that he walks in front and I can lead him, you know, left and right, etc. until they got to the home. From that she knew his honesty. And from the fact that he helped with the flock, they knew his strength. He was a strong man. He did it quick, very fast. So what happened is, when they got there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُ وَقَصَّ عَلَيْهِ الْقَصَصِ قَالَ لَا تَخَفْ نَجَوْتَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ.
When he got to Shu'aib alayhi salam. Now remember, where do we get that this was Shu'aib alayhi salam? According to some of the narrations, it was the Nabi of Allah, Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam. There is no reason for us to say it wasn't, so we will hold it at that. So Shu'aib alayhi salam listens to the story and he says, don't worry, Allah has saved you from the oppressors.
And then one of the daughters spoke up. Now, I'm going to speak about this evening because it is a very great lesson for us. We have problems in our communities, in our homes. People are complaining, the women, the girls, the boys, everyone is complaining that our parents are being hard and the parents are not listening. Parents are saying the children are not listening when it comes to marriage. So, let's learn a lesson. One of the girls tells the father,
يا أبت استأجره إن خير من استأجرت القوي الأمين.
Verse number 26 of Surah Al-Qasas. She says, O our father, why don't you employ him? Give him a job. The best person you can give a job to is one who is strong and honest. Hardworking and honest. Okay. Let's save ourselves, my brothers and sisters. Let's save ourselves from loss in terms of production and productivity by employing those who are hardworking and honest. These two qualities you cannot do with just one of them. You have to have both. If you want to succeed, you need to work hard and you need to be honest. If you are honest but you don't work hard, we don't need you. And if you work hard but you are not honest, we also don't need you. And you are not needed by anyone, and you don't need those type of people. So remember these things. You work very hard, and you must be very honest. Two things. If you have that, you will go very far in life. Where did we get it from? The Quran. Let's save ourselves and save others. If it's your business, you know what type of people to employ. And if you are the person working, you know what type of a job you need to fulfill. Be honest and hardworking. إِنَّ خَيْرَ مَنِ اسْتَأْجَرْتَ الْقَوِيِّ الْأَمِينَ. Indeed, the best person you could ever give a job to is the one who's strong, meaning hardworking, and honest, trustworthy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant this to us. Now, when a young girl is praising a man, what should the father understand? Subhanallah, subhanallah. You know, dad, mashallah, tabarakallah. Good man, really good man. He's honest, he's hardworking. The father says, okay, I've understood it. I've understood it. In our times, they're not as shy as that. They'll tell you, dad, I want to marry him. Straight. It's not as shy as that. Before, if you look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, also he speaks about how a woman sometimes says a few good words about a man, giving like signs to say, you know what, I'm interested, dad, can you please find out? Question that we have. Is it wrong for a woman to show interest in marrying someone and to tell her folks, I'm interested in so and so, please find out more, please can you help me? Is it wrong? The answer is no, it is not wrong. As much as we do not condone a haram relationship, do not go out with someone and, you know, sleep with them and astaghfirullah, do whatever is haram there is to be done, and then come to dad and say, dad, you know what, I've been going out for 5 years now, I think I'm ready to get married. That's not an Islamic way of doing things. From the beginning you say, dad, you know what? I don't have a relationship, but I'd like you to find out more about this person. Subhanallah. Because perhaps they are good. I came across them this way or that way or whatever way. Sometimes you stumble across them in a correct way. Sometimes it could have been, perhaps maybe, may not have started in such a brilliant way, but keep it as clean as possible. My brothers and sisters, remember, when you sow a seed, let it be a pure seed so that a pure fruit can grow. Don't let it be a seed of evil. If you've done something wrong, make tawbah, it will purify the seed. People say, you know, when I got married, I did the wrong thing. When I got married, or before I got married, I did so much of wrong. My brothers and sisters, it's not the end of the world. You can change it by tawbah. Seek Allah's forgiveness and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. And you will definitely find the doors opening and the seeds purifying once again. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. But the point here is, look at how she raised the issue. The father understood it. Let's go back to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, against all odds, she also proposed for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She wouldn't have believed that it was going to be accepted. Guess what? It came through. And that was the best marriage he had. He had all his children from her, Khadija radiallahu anha, subhanallah. He used to miss her later on. She was much older than him. So it's not wrong for a woman to show interest. In some cultures, it is taboo for the father of the girl to go out and to the father of the boy, or even to the boy, and say, you know what, my daughter is actually interested in marrying you, or I would like you to marry my daughter, etc. Some cultures believe it's totally taboo. Remember, who knows that you have a daughter? Many people don't. You need to come out. You've seen all the sons in the masajid, haven't you? You've seen all the people all around. You know, you interact. Subhanallah. Nowadays, people tell their kids, find your own spouse. That's it. No, it's also your duty, your responsibility. Mainly, it is you. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about how a person who has three daughters looks after them and gives them a decent upbringing and helps them getting married into decent homes and is kind to them will get Jannah. Do you know why? Because you brought up a child for somebody else. That's the reason. You brought up a daughter. You loved her. You spent on her. You invested and you did everything. And you gave her away to someone else. That's the most difficult thing you could ever do. You did it. Allah says, for you is Jannah. Someone asked the messenger, what about if I only had two daughters? He says, even two. Subhanallah. That's the reason. And this is why in Islam, we don't sell our kids with a dowry and a bride price. To say, listen, I'm the father, I need $70,000. That's it. Why? Because I sent her to school, she went to a government school, she went to university, she did this, she did that. That's part of your Jannah. If you want the payment in the dunya, forget about that Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May Allah grant us ease. With us, there is no dowry or bride price. There is only something known as a mahr, which is a gift from the groom to the bride. Subhanallah. Sometimes we call it a down payment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ease. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. So, it's amazing how the father says,
Inni uridu an unkihaka ihda bnatayya hatayni ala an ta'jurani thamaniya hijaj.
I would like to get you married off to one of my two daughters on condition that you work for me for 8 years. MashaAllah. Work for me for a while. Meaning you marry her, stay with me. That brings me to another cultural aspect of our living that people consider taboo. Man gets married, he lives with his in-laws. Everyone says, Salas, look at him. He can't even live, living off his father-in-law. They have names to refer to such people. Do you know that? Derogatory names. Yet, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in fact, Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam, he worked for his father-in-law. Anything wrong? No, not at all. He worked for him. How many years? 10 whole years, not just 8. He added another 2. Subhanallah. He said, no problem, I work. Did anyone insult him? Not at all. The idea is they need to be happy, whether this side, that side, or independent. For as long as you are happy, respecting each other, and you are living with each other, you will save yourself from a lot of trouble and calamity and turmoil and turbulence. There is nothing to say you have to live here, or you have to live there, or you're not allowed to live with your in-laws, or you cannot take from your father-in-law. If he wants to give you, alhamdulillah, nurun ala nur, why not? Take it, alhamdulillah. The others are jealous brats. Astaghfirullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Now, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ease and goodness. My brothers and sisters, I think the point is quite clear. To say in Islam, there's no hard and fast rule. To say you're not allowed to do this or you're allowed to do that. Generally, you're the man. So much so that Musa alayhi salam did not have any provision. He did not have much. He only had strength and what else? Honesty. Two qualities. And the daughter of a Nabi was given to him. Take. Subhanallah. And he was a strange man. He was not yet a Nabi of Allah. He was a stranger. But they found him to be a good man within no time. Subhanallah. How many of us would do that? Subhanallah. Well, I know someone might say, well, look, if it was Musa alayhi salam, I probably would have. But my brothers and sisters, the point being raised is, when you have a son-in-law who's respectable, responsible, hard-working and honest, even if he is poor, even if he doesn't yet have money, no problem. He will look after your daughter the way he will look after himself. So you get him married. Because many of us today who have children, mashallah, and perhaps we are living a little bit wealthier than what we were before, we started off with zero. When we married for 20 years, we did not even have a car or a house next to our name. And we are demanding that he who comes to marry our daughter must already have 2 palaces. Subhanallah. We demand that he must already have such a salary. He must have a car. He must have this. He must have that. Where did we get this from? Save yourselves the tension. We are promoting promiscuity and adultery by making that which is halal difficult. If you make nikah difficult, wallahi you will be answerable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having made zina and adultery so easy. Because Allah made nikah and marriage simple in order to avoid haram. And we are making it difficult so that people fall into haram. You definitely share a portion of the sin if you are guilty. May Allah make it easy for us. So this man, He got married, mashallah. He lived with his father-in-law. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of it in such a beautiful way. Remember, my brothers and sisters, this is a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These stories are amazing. Wallahi, they are not there for us to just read and to say, wow. Have we ever looked at the story of Musa alayhi salam the way I did it today? To say, look how he got married. Why did Allah make mention of this story? Why did Allah say that the father-in-law looked at him and said, okay, you work here. Don't worry, get married to my daughter and inshallah things will be okay. They worked together. They were so happy. She became the wife of a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine what type of a dad. I recall a story, a true story, without giving you names. One of the leaders of a nation, he became a president of a nation later on. At one stage, he wanted to get married when he was a student. And he was living in a foreign land. And he went to plead with the father of the girl. And she refused and rejected completely. A few months later, when he graduated and there were elections in his country and he stood, he became the leader. And his father looked at him on TV and he said, isn't that the guy who came for my daughter? Too late, dad. Too late. Too late. Today we make our decisions based on materialistic items. Remember, use the guidelines of Allah. You'll never go wrong. Use the guidelines of Allah. You'll never go wrong. Seek the guidance of the ulama. You won't go wrong. Do not make it difficult for your children to get married. Wallahi, my brothers and sisters, this is an amana. It's a trust entrusted to us. Let's move on. We move on to another topic altogether, also in the same surah, regarding when we sit with people who have nothing better to say, but vulgar words, bad mouthing, talk about this one, you know, spread gossip about that one, spread rumor, make you hate others. If I'm sitting with someone and they're making me hate people by talking bad about that one, terrible about this one, saying something about that one, this one, what should I do? This is called laghu. In fact, it is worse than laghu. Laghu is something which is unnecessary, but If you are a good Muslim, the qualities made mention of here in this beautiful surah, Surah Al-Qasas, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا اللَّغْوَ أَعْرَضُوا عَنْهُ وَقَالُوا لَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ لَا نَبْتَغِي الْجَاهِلِينَ. Talking of the qualities of those who turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they hear people indulging in that which is futile, they say to them, they go away from them, number one. They go away. How many of us, when our friends are backbiting, can we actually stand up and we say, I'm going away. I'm not going to sit with you until you stop talking about these people. I think there wouldn't be any one of us who would really do that to our friends. Would we? Your friends are sitting and talking. You get up and you walk out. You say, you know what? I'm not going to be sitting with you until you change the topic. I think we'd be more worried about losing our friends. But this is what the Quran teaches us. When people are committing any type of sin, whether it is backbiting or speaking against the deen or against people, etc., you are supposed to be walking away. Tell them, you have your deeds, you're going to be answerable. I have deeds, I'm going to be answerable. Peace be upon you, I cannot interact with those who are ignorant. Subhanallah. May Allah make it easy for us. Look at how Allah is teaching us to save ourselves from the calamity of the hereafter. Allah is telling us that if you are more concerned about the day of judgment, you wouldn't mind a small inconvenience in this world here. The problem with us is, we are more concerned about the inconvenience of the world. What are my friends going to say? How could I walk away? What are these ladies going to say? We're sitting here having tea. How can I be the odd one out to say, sisters, please let's not talk about others. But you have to. If you do it, another few people will do it, you will start a trend. Then when we meet each other, guess what? The meetings will become shorter. Because there will be more time for that which is proper, rather than talking about others. Do you know? I recall my dad many years ago telling my mom that when you go to someone's house, you sit for 10 minutes, 15 minutes. After that, you leave. Because after the 15th minute, you start talking about other people. You start talking about other people. You see, hellos and how are yous and what's going on and how's the children, it takes 15 minutes. After that, you know that girl, you know that lady, you know the sister, that's where it starts. So you sit 15 minutes, you walk away, subhanallah. Now, this time frame may differ from person to person. The point is, you need to know where to cut off so that your meeting does not become sinful when it was meant to be with a good intention. Then there is another verse. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now my brothers and sisters, we want to save ourselves from the fire of hell. We definitely want to save ourselves from calamity in the world and the next. Together with that, we also want to save our loved ones. We have people, our families, our children, perhaps our parents, our brothers and sisters, our communities. We want to save them. We want to try and reach out to them so that they can also be saved from the calamity and disaster. So as a result, it pains us to see our children if they were on drugs or if they had a bad habit or if they had some form of addiction or if they were disobedient. It would hurt us because we are their parents. Why would it hurt us? Because Allah has created a connection between you and those. So you want good for them. Your children, your uncle, maybe your aunt, your family members. You want good for them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had an uncle called Abu Talib. This Abu Talib was a very good man, but he didn't accept Islam. What happened? He helped Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam a lot. He defended him a lot. But on his deathbed, he didn't want to say the Shahada. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tried very hard. You see the statement, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The most powerful statement that you could ever have. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his uncle, Ya ammi, qul kalimatan uhajju laka biha yawm al-qiyamah. Oh my uncle, say this one statement, the rest of the battle on the day of judgment, I will fight it for you. You say the statement. Imagine, say the one statement and he will fight the battle for you on the day of judgment. He's being told, Subhanallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. The uncle passed away, he didn't say it, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so sad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses telling Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we know. Guidance is in our hands. We know why we do what we do. Because it is us who guide, it's not you who guides. Now, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is definitely a guide, without a doubt. But there are two types of guidance made mention of in the Quran. If you were to ask me that you would like to go, for example, to Port Elizabeth, and I tell you, okay, you catch this road, this is where you turn, this is what you see, this is where you will go, and at the end you will end up on this highway, go straight until you see the signs, and you turn into Port Elizabeth. What did I do? I guided you, I gave you the path, I showed you how to go. That is one type of guidance. It's called Ad-Dalalah wal-Irshad. The other type of guidance is called a tawfiq. Tawfiq meaning now, whether or not you did what was said, that is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah says, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Indeed, you are a guide to the straight path. You have guided the people to the straight path. But in this verse, verse number 56 of Surah Al-Qasas, Allah says, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Indeed, you do not guide whomsoever you wish. We are the ones, or Allah guides whomsoever He wishes. What Allah is referring to here is the final treading the path or not. Who is going to do it? That is between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope we've understood the difference between these two types of guidance. One is to know the road and to be shown the road. And the second is to be having the ability to tread the path. That is a different type of guidance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all. This is why we try our best. We guide our children. Whether or not they are on the path, you leave that in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You keep on making dua for them. Never lose hope with your kids. No matter what they've done, don't lose hope. Keep trying. And inshallah, one day they may come. Keep making dua for them. That is your duty. And keep trying with them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all. Then I'm going to move on a little bit further to a story of Qarun. And the reason I want to leave a few verses that I had actually written down to talk about is because we want to keep in pace with the recitation of the Taraweeh. We heard tonight the story of Qarun. Verse number 76 onwards of the same surah, Surah Al-Qasas, there is a very interesting point I want to raise. I'm sure you've heard the story of Qarun. He was a wealthy man at the time of Musa alayhi salam. Allah says, وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْكُنُوزِ مَا إِنَّ مَفَاتِحَهُ لَتَنُوءُ بِالْعُصْبَةِ أُولِي الْقُوَّةِ. We gave him so much wealth that the keys to the treasures that he had, just the keys, were very difficult for a group of strong men to lift. Not the treasure, the keys. The keys. How many keys there must have been? So Allah says, just the keys to the treasures were very difficult for powerful people to live. Imagine what type of wealth he must be having with us. It's just a plastic card in the pocket. Subhanallah. Imagine how much wealth he must have had, this man. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, his crime was that he was boastful. He was arrogant. He used to boast. He used to show off. He used to have his nose stuck up in the air like he is the only one. And there was another problem. He used to say, all this is given to me because of my own brain, my mind. قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. Verse number 78, Surah Al-Qasas. Qarun says, I have been given all of this because of my knowledge. I'm sharp. I'm witty. I'm a shrewd businessman. That's why I was given. Allah says, no. We gave it to you. We gave you your brain also in the first place. So stop connecting it to your brain. Go one step higher and connect it to the owner of the brain, the one who gave you that ability. It was Allah who sustains. Subhanallah. But the bigger problem was his sinful behavior. And there was another issue. Allah says, فَخَرَجَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فِي زِينَتِهِ. He came out to his people, showing off all the beauty that Allah had given him. So he was adorned in it, and he was boasting and showing. And there were people who looked at it, and they said something. What did they say? You know, today, mashallah, it's not wrong to have wealth, but it's wrong to be arrogant with the wealth. It's not wrong not to have wealth, but it's wrong to be arrogant even if you don't have wealth. So it's not the wealth that makes you right or wrong. It's the attitude that comes with it. Some people have a lot. They are so humble. They might be seated in our midst. Millionaires. Who knows? So alhamdulillah, good news to you. You use your wealth to earn your Jannah. It's possible. People have done it. There were Sahaba who did it, radiallahu anhum. But we are talking of a person who's arrogant. When we see someone with the latest car, the best home, they are flashing, they're sitting and talking on the latest phone, and you know, they have all the latest names and everything. What do the young people say? Let's be honest. Let's be frank. What do the children say? Ooh, I want to be like that uncle. Don't they say that? One day, inshallah. Oh, uncle. One day, you know. And we start taking photos, we stand next to the car, you know, with posing this way, that way, pictures like it's your vehicle. Nothing. In fact, nowadays you can get an app. Choose what you want to stand next to, they put you next to it. Subhanallah. But that's the attitude of the people. Why? Materialism has taken over. This problem existed even at the time of Qarun. So when he came out, Allah says, قَالَ الَّذِينَ يُرِيدُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا يَا لَيْتَ لَنَا مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ قَارُونَ إِنَّهُ لَذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. The people who wanted the worldly life, they looked at him and said, oh Allah, we wish that we had what you gave Qarun. And Allah says, no, you don't know. The people of knowledge, they said, be careful. When you see wealth that comes with arrogance, don't ask Allah to give that to you. Because if Allah gives that to you, He will punish you in the same way He punished those people. When Allah gives you, sometimes it is a sign that He's about to punish you, so He opens the door for you. When you've got everything, you drown in it. Remember this. So when you see someone doing something good with their wealth, you ask Allah, oh Allah, give me wealth so that I can do good. But you don't just see, oh Allah, give me wealth so that I can boast, I can flash, and I can show all the people on the street that I have achieved, I've succeeded. That's not what life is all about. No, it's not about a show. It's about worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone has wealth and they're using it to do a lot of good, that is when you say, ya Allah, if you gave me, I would also do a lot of good with the wealth. May Allah give us and help us to use it in a good way. Ameen. So, the people of knowledge told them, don't wish for this, because this has come with arrogance and haughtiness. But they were like, you know what, nah, we still want a bit of that wealth. And then Allah says, subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضَ. We opened up the earth and we caused that he and all his wealth and his home was swallowed by the earth. And in the morning the people saw that Qarun is no more and his things are no more and all his wealth is swallowed by the earth. They looked at it and they said to themselves, what has happened? And guess what? Allah makes mention of those who were wishing for that wealth. They said, just as well Allah didn't give us. Subhanallah. Just as well, Allah didn't give us. Had He given us, He would have also punished us in the same way that He punished him. Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
وأصبح الذين تمنوا مكانه بالأمس يقولون ويكأن الله يبسط الرزق لمن يشاء من عباده ويقدر.
Allahu Akbar. The people who wanted that the previous day, they came up and said, oh, behold, subhanallah, it is Allah who gives provision to whomsoever He wishes. If Allah had given us, لَوْلَا أَمَّنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا لَخَسَفَ بِنَا. If Allah had given us the same type of wealth, He would have also caused the earth to swallow us. So the point I want to raise, let us save ourselves from greed. Let us save ourselves from wanting things that come with arrogance. Ask Allah purely questions and ask Allah sustenance, promising Allah, if you give me the sustenance, Ya Allah, I am going to be from among those who spend this, inshallah, in the good cause. And inshallah, I will then earn Jannah through the wealth that you give me. And that is what you ask Allah. You don't ask Allah for something that comes with bad habits in order to show off. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. We continue tomorrow, inshallah. Aqulu qawli hadha wa sallallahu wa sallam على نبينا محمد سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم بحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.